Begin the current tab, Masech the Sanhedrin, Daf Yud. Begin 5 minutes after the tab of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with another teaching from Rava on the topic from the previous Daf regarding Palgin and Dibura, regarding if someone is saying testimony and if it pertains to himself, where a person is not believed regarding himself, but that we divide his statement into two. Part which is that he's not an Negev B'Dava, that he's not biased by, that we will accept regarding somebody else, but regarding himself, that we won't accept. So on that theme, the Gemara continues with different teachings from Rava. From Rava, Rava said, if people testify, plainly ba al naira hamayrasa, that man had relations with that engaged girl, which is punishable by death. Vahuzamu, and then it turns out that those witnesses had lied. Moreover, other witnesses said, how could you have testified that at the time and place that you're saying you were in a different place with us? So the halacha is neragin. So those witnesses, they get the punishment they tried to do to the defendants. They get killed because they tried to murder this guy by prosecuting him. He would have gotten killed for that act of bia with the naira hamayrasam. But the witnesses do not have to pay any restitution of money, which would generally be regarding the engaged girl, which she would have lost the benefit of the value of the ksuba, which they would have wanted her to lose, because if she was really a naira marasa that had relations with a man, she, besides getting killed, she would have lost her ksuba. In this situation, there's no loss of ksuba because they didn't mention the name of any woman. So for who did they cause a loss? So therefore, there's no monetary payment because we don't know who the girl is. They just said he was mezana with an Amaras. We knew she was an engaged girl, but we can't identify her. So it's regarding him that they tried having him killed, so they get killed, but there's no tashlum of moment. Whereas if they say bita shel plaini, they say this man was mezana with the daughter of that man who is an Amaras, and vahuzmo, then they become huzam. Then rogan, then they get killed because of both of them. Because they wanted to kill him and her, because both of them would have gotten the death penalty. And they have to pay money because they were coming to also create a loss of her ksuba that she got when she was already engaged to her husband. And is that taivas hana, the benefit of what you could do with a ksuba, which currently doesn't have value, but it has a certain sale value, as old zay make ksuba, which that's the situation where they were going to cause her not only to die, but have the loss of her ksuba. Now, as Rashi explains, Rav is not disagreeing with Rav Yosef, who we mentioned previously on the Tesema Beis, that said that when the husband brought witnesses that this woman was Mezana, and then the father actually brought witnesses that the husband's witnesses were lying, and they were Huzam. So Rav Yosef would explain that the husband's witnesses get killed, and they do not pay money. And the reason is because that's what's known as Kimle Bidrabine. They want to cause her to die, then the fact that they're going to make her lose the money of the ksuba is a lower of the same person. You don't do both. You're not loika mishalim. And that says Rashi here, it's different. Because over there, since that case was talking about the woman was married, this was actually the morning after, that's the halacha of Maiti Shemra. So that payment of the ksuba was for the woman herself. So since it's because of her that they're being killed, so they don't have to also pay a monetary payment, these witnesses who are huzam. But in this situation where she's a naira hamayrasa, she's only engaged, she's not married, so actually the payment of that hazama, of the loss of the ksuba that they were trying to cause, was the father's. Because halacha is, kol shvach ne'urim la'via, every benefit of a woman that's a naira, that's a 12 and a half, up until 12 and a half year old girl, even when she's engaged, that goes to her father. So therefore, it's mamon lazeh and nefashos lazeh, because as our Gemara explains in this stuff, in the previous stuff, when the obligation, even for people that are getting punished, one a death penalty, one a monetary, but if it's for two different people, two different parties, then you get both of those punishments. Here the money is to the father, and the death penalty is because of the man and the girl, so therefore those are two different obligations, and therefore they would have both the obligation of the money and of the death penalty. As the Gemara says, Maman Lezev and Nefashos Lezev, that there's a monetary payment for the father, which is a Nefashos Lezev, which is the death penalty is because of the other parties of the woman and of that man that she was Mezana with. Another teaching, continuing on this theme, going back to the concept of Kimla B'Dra'amine, Bama Rava says as follows, of let's say witnesses testify, plainly Rava Hashar, parallel case where if you don't mention who the other party is, so they say that man, sodomized, had relations with an ox. Now, but they didn't say whose ox it was. But huzmu, and then the witnesses were huzam themselves, where other witnesses say, hey, how could you have said this guy did that deplorable act? You were with us in that time. So the halacha is neragin, they get killed. They mishalmim mamon, but they don't pay money. They get killed because a man that has relations with an animal, bestiality, gets killed, and they try to do that to him, so they get killed. But they don't pay any money of the value of the ox, because the halacha is when a man or a woman has relations with an animal. Not only does the human get killed, but also the animal. So here that would have caused a loss for the owner of the ox. Here they don't pay that value because we don't know which one. And they never named which ox it was. But let's say they say, this man had relations with the ox of that man. They identify which one it was. And then they became huzam. Then they get killed and they pay money because it's mamun lazeh. The monetary obligation is for one party, which is the owner of the ox. And the death penalty is because of that other person who they said was Reva, who was the one they claimed sodomized that man. So since it's two different parties, therefore there is both punishments, which the Gemara asks. Hasulamali hainuach. These two teachings of Rava seem to be the same idea. What's the difference between Plaini Baal Naima Rasa, which is when they don't say which one and then you do, versus Plaini Rav Ashayr, and you don't say who the ox is and then you do say? Says the Gemara, you're right, it's the same teaching. But Mishum de Kabayi Bayi Elavai, the reason why we quoted this teaching of Rava, why Rava said it, is because he used it as a springboard because he wanted to ask a question on that case. Because the Bayi Rava had said, but what's with the following case? Let's say someone says Plaini Rav Ashayri. So we spoke about a case when they say Plaini Rav Ashayr, didn't say Husher. Then is it a case of Plaini Rav Ashayr Shel Plaini? We explained that case. And that is, yeah, the same as the case of Plaini Baal Naima Rasa, and then saying, you know, the daughter of that type of person. But he wanted to use the second case of Plaini Rav Ashayr when it's regarding my ox. So him and another person are testifying that that person sodomized his own ox. Mao, what would halacha be in that situation? In other words, we know that that person would definitely get killed. Because we have two witnesses that testified that he was roiva, he had relations with an animal. The only question is, does this man's own ox get killed? As the Gemara explains. Do we say that a person is related to himself, which is the halacha, a person cannot testify regarding himself, just like a person cannot testify regarding a relative, because he's the closest to himself. But a person is not considered a relative to his money. In other words, not considered related to his animal. He could testify regarding his animal, and therefore his animal would get killed. Or maybe no, I mean an adam karvei to my money. We say a person is considered related to his money. And essentially what this part of the question would say is, hence we would say paginin di bure. So we would split up his words. We would believe this guy and the other witness together with him regarding that man who is Rava, but he would not be believed his testimony regarding his own ox, because it doesn't work, just like we said in the previous daf regarding one's wife, which was the teaching of Rava that went to the top of this Amid, playing the Baal Ishti, which is a nosa regarding person himself. It won't be believed regarding himself, so to his wife, so to his money, but it will work regarding that other person. Or maybe, the other side of the coin is, that we don't say regarding Pagina Dibure, Adam Karvetz Mamane. Meaning, although we say that a person, we will split up a statement regarding himself. So although a person cannot maybe testify regarding his money, but it's not that strong of a kurva, of a relationship, that to go ahead and split up, meaning once we're believing him regarding that other person, maybe we do extend it and we do even prosecute his ox. It's not such a close relationship to require us to say, Pagina Nibur. So it's the Gemara, Basad Dabayir Had the Pasha. So after Rav asked that question, he resolved it. Adam Karv Eitzlas, my person is considered relative to himself. But the Ein Adam Karv Eitzlas, my money, person is not considered relative to his money. In other words, we don't say he's related to his money regarding the concept of Paginun Dibure, and therefore, since he's being believed regarding this person having relations with his animal will get stoned too. Now, although we say in Temura and of Chavchesim and Aleph that if person said that his animal had been sodomized or sodomized, based on his own testimony, that his animal is now forbidden to be brought as a carbon, but it is permitted for a regular person, in other words, that it's not stoned. So that says Rashi, that's because that would only be talking about where they didn't testify who the person that had relations with the animal. Or he testified, but he didn't have another witness with him. So that person's not getting killed. But like our Gemara is saying, but when the person's getting killed based on the testimony of the owner of the ox, then we would not say pagin in dibure because it's his money, and the ox would get stoned based on his own testimony. Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which opened up this parak, this Masechta, that said, Makis Bishleisha Bechulu, another category that requires three judges, just like we said regarding Dinamam in this Bishleisha, regarding lashes, which is when a person violates a negative prohibition in the Torah, that's adjudicated with three judges. So as the Gemara Menachemili, where do we know this halacha from? Some Rav Huni says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Ushefatum, and they should judge them, which this Pasuk is in the context of Malkus of lashes, which that's said in the plural, which is Shnayim, which is two judges. Now, Vein, Bez, and Shakal, we know, as we explained in the previous daf, you can't have an equal amount of judges. So, Mesiv, and Lein, Oidechad, so you add on another judge, Harikach, Shleisha, that makes for a sum total of three judges. Now, that, the Gemara asks, well, Elamiyata, but if that's the case, that you're using the pluralistic term that's said in the Pasuk, which says two, and if you have to add a third one, well, there are other plural terms there in the Pasuk. Says in that Pasuk, Vitzdiku, that they should justify him. That's Shnayim, that's also plural, that's another two. Vishu, they should prosecute him, that's to make him wicked. That's also Shnayim, that's another two. Sarikan Shiva, that's seven. Because you have two plus two plus two, which is six, plus the Kam equals, so it's seven. So why is there only three judges, not seven? Says the Gemara, Nahumi Boyle, look at Ula. The term Mishpatim is telling us that it has to be two judges, plus one is three. The other terms there in the Pasuk are not extra to teach an additional amount of judges. That those words in that Pasuk are necessary to teach us the halach of Ula. Nama Ula that Ula had taught, Remez le'edim zeymin at term in the nine. He said, what's the illusion of the halacha, of the law of edim zeymin, which is that when they try to do someone else, and it turns out that these witnesses are lying, they get the same punishment. Where is that alluded to in the Torah? Which the question on Ula's question is, Remez le'edim zeymin, what he wants to know, an allusion to the laws of edim zeymin? Book 7, this explicit Pasuk in the Varm, that says, Kashar Zama, that as they plotted, it was what done to them. Or rather, what Ula was asking was, Remez le'edim zeymin shalaykin, where's the illusion that Adam Zayman get lashes where what they plotted to the other person cannot be done back to them? So for example, let's say they testify regarding a certain person. They say that he's a Ben Grusha, that although his father was a Kain, so he should be a Kain, he should be able to get Trumas and a bunch of different things, Matnas Kuna, but he's actually, his mother was a Grusha divorcee, which makes him into a Chol, and he loses a lot of those rights. Then it turns out that the witnesses who had testified that were Zayman, and they themselves are Kahanim, we don't say that they become a Ben Gerusha. You can't become a Ben Gerusha. His mother, the witness's mother, is not a Gerusha. So they don't become a Chal just like him. Rather, they get 39 lashes. And that's the punishment that's meted out for them for what they attempted to do. So on that, the question is, what's the source for that? When you can't do back to them what they tried to do to that person, so in place of that they get lashes, what's the source of that halacha? Like it says in that pasuk, v'hitzdiku es tzaddik, that they should justify the righteous person, and v'yishu es harasha, and they should prosecute the wicked person. Now the question in this pasuk is, how do you read this? Mishum v'hitzdiku, what? Because the court will justify es tzaddik, the righteous person, and v'yishu es harasha, and will incriminate the wicked person. That makes sense that the next pasuk then says, v'hoya, and then it's going to be in bin hakos harasha, that they're going to go ahead and hit the wicked person. In other words, why is it mentioning the justification of the righteous person, the tzitzkes hatzadik, what? Because they're justifying a righteous person, that obligates the wicked person in lashes? What's the flow of the pasuk? Ella rather explains, Ula, it's that obvious over here that we're alluding to the concept of Edom Zayman over here, where it's actually not talking about the judges, it's talking about the witnesses when it talks about V'hayim bin Hakreis HaRasha. And what the pasuk is saying is as follows. There's a context to this pasuk. Edom Sheyashiu es hatzadik. There's some background. Witnesses who are incriminating a righteous person, meaning they're lying, they're false witnesses regarding a person. And that's what the pasuk says, va'asu edi achrini. Now other witnesses come, and they're mazim, they then show that the first witnesses were actually liars. Vitzdiku, and now the second pair of witnesses, they justify es tzaddik demikar, the one who originally was a righteous person, that these witnesses were plotting to lie about him. These second pair of witnesses come and they justify him. They show that the witnesses were lying and he's right. And therefore, that's where the pasuk continues. It says v'shavinu lahanach, and they actually place and they make the first set of witnesses into rishonim, into wicked people. So they're matzik the tzaddik and they're v'shu es harasha, as life should be. That's what the next part that continues and says, V'hoyim bin HaKreis HaRasha, that then if they're going to have to go ahead and they're going to give lashes to the wicked person. Now, if this halacha that the pasuk is alluding to of Eidim Zayman is not regarding when it's regarding monetary issues, because the halacha is that we're not liking the Meshalman. Since regarding regular Eidim Zayman, they actually have to pay the money they tried incriminating for the defendant, so then they're not going to get lashes. So obviously, that's where we know that it would be talking about in context, like, let's say, when they say it was a Ben Grusha, where there was no monetary thing, and you can't do back to them what they tried to do to him. That's when we see the pasuk is saying that then we're going to, these wicked first set of witnesses are going to be in Bin HaKaisa Rasha, that they're going to go ahead and get lashes. Now, that thing more as, so that explains why we don't use those extra words, Hitzdiku and Nirshiu, to say that you need more than three judges for the laws of lashes. But the Gemara asks, so you tell me, because we need those words to teach us this halacha of Eidim Zayman that they're going to get lashes, ask the Gemara, but typically I'm a loisana, but why do you need a whole, this whole drasha of Ula? There's a pasuk in Shemayis in Perek Chav, pasuk in Gimel, that says, Leisana v're'acha eid shaker, that you now go ahead and say false testimony, and that's what these witnesses did, and when you violate a negative prohibition, they get lashes. So why do you need to learn it out from this whole halacha of this whole drasha? It's a mefurisha pasuk. Says the Gemara, Mishum Nahava Lay Lav Sheim B'Maisa. Yeah, but it's a negative prohibition that there's no action. You're not doing any action. It's just words that you're saying. B'Chalav Sheim B'Maisa Ein Loikin Lav. And any negative prohibition that doesn't have any action to it, there's no lashes. As the Gemara in Masechtas Makos Daf Yud Gimel Beis learns out from the Pasuk, Ein Leisish Malasis, it has to be an action. Then Hiflash Shemes Makoscha. But if there's no action, then there is no lashes. And therefore, the only way we know it is from the Drasha of Ula, which is from V'Hayim Bin HaKaisa Rasha. Now the Mishnah then continued and said, but Mishur Mi Bishmol Amru, he disagrees. He says, Be'es Mishleisha. It's not enough for three judges for the laws of lashes. You need 23 judges. So ask the Gemara, my time to Bishmol, what's the reason for Bishmol? So Amabai, he says, Asi Rasha Rasha Mechiv Misa. We learned an exerisha from the word wicked that it says by those who are liable for the death penalty. Where Ksiv Hach, it says in the pasuk we just quoted before, which is the context of getting lashes, V'Hayim Bin HaKaisa Rasha. That if it's going to be that if the wicked person is going to get lashes. Now, Ksiv Hasam, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, it says in Perek Lama Hei Pasuk Lama Alf, when the Pasuk there is talking about Lenefesh Ritzach regarding a murderer, it says, Ashehu Rosh Olamus, that which is a wicked person to get killed. Now, Malahan Besam Mishleisha, just like regarding the death penalty we already established in our Mishnah, requires 23 judges. Afkan Besam Mishleisha, so the Gedei Shavit tells us, with Rasha, so to hear by the laws of lashes, it also requires a judge. A court of 23 judges. Ravam, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Malkus b'mokum miso emedes. Lashes is in place in the same context as the death penalty. In other words, since somebody, this person, this Jew, violated the warning of his creator, so he's fit to be killed. And in a sense, that's what the death penalty is. It's a penalty that the pasuk imposed upon someone who violated the word of Hashem. Now, so therefore, the lashes is a lower level in place of like the death penalty. So therefore, just like we have stoning, we have burning, we have beheading, we have all these different types of death penalties, lashes is also the same thing, just on a lower level. It's a type of a death penalty. So just like Chiv and Misa require 23 judges, so do lashes require 23 judges. Now, however, in this interpretation of Rav Amar Rav Acha, Bered Rav or Rav Asher, he asked, but Ihachi, but if that's the case, then you tell me that lashes is really, in a sense, a death penalty. So then, an evaluation which the Mishnah teaches in Eluhel and Aloikin and Afchav Beis and that in Masechtas Makos, that we evaluate the person that's getting lashes, that if he cannot receive all 39 lashes, then we only hit him as much as he could receive. On that asks Rav Acha Bei Rava, but lamali, why do we need an evaluation? Lamachye, let's hit him all 39 lashes. He might, he's lame. If he's going to die, let him die, because actually that's what the death penalty is in the context of lashes. You're telling me it's just a lower death penalty, but if he dies, it's definitely very fitting, because it's anyone who violates the word of Hashem should get the death penalty. So what's the problem? If he dies, why do we need an evaluation to see how much he can handle? So Amalei, so he answered to him, he says, Omakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'nikla ochicha le'inecha, that your brother, which that's the pasuk that talks about Arbom Yakenu, the law of 39 lashes, so the pasuk there says that your brother should be disgraced in your eyes. But what that teaches us is that kimachis, at the time when you're giving him lashes, agabod the chayi machis, you have to be giving him lashes on the person that's still alive. In other words, he has to be achicha. It says v'niklo achicha leinecha, that in other words, you have to be hitting your brother and not a dead person. But if he's going to die halfway through, so it's going to come out that on the other half, when you're hitting him, he's not alive. that will not qualify for the pasuk v'nikla achicha leinecha, and that's why you can't give him. We have to evaluate him. You can't give him lashes. That's going to make him die, because not that the problem if he dies. You're right. Malka is just like death penalty, but the problem then is going to be that you're not going to have achicha when you're doing the lashes. He's going to be a dead person. No, but then the Gemara asks, okay, fine, but Elohad the Tanya, but then this, there was the Braisa that says, Amduhu Lekabel Esrim. Let's say they evaluate him, and they saw that he could receive 20 lashes. They saw that he can't receive 21. If they're going to hit him 21 times, he's going to die. Then says the Braisa, Ein Maka Noisei Ela Maka Saruyas Lishtalash. So we don't do 20 lashes. You only do lashes that could be cut into three parts. In other words, you need to have lashes that could be in thirds, because the Halacha is, as is brought in over there in Perek Eil and Halakin of Chof Gimlod Aleph, that you do two parts on the back of the person and one third in the front of the person. So it has to be in thirds, because you have to be able to have two and one, which is three. So therefore, the kamahain, and how much is that? That's Tam Nisrei, that's going to come out for a total of 18. You can't do 21 because he's going to die. But so you could do 20, but you can't do 20. 20 can't be split into threes. So then you go down to 18 because 18 can be split into threes. Now that the question is, as we continue to medbay, is why? Let's hit him 21 times. Because in the 21st time, he's still going to be alive. So it's going to be you're going to be hitting someone that's alive. You'll have a niklo chicha leinecha. Now, v'chimayis b'hachada, now, although you said that he's going to die in the 21st time, lamus, let him die. Dahki machis, because when you hit him, agabadachayka machis, when you were hitting him, he was still alive. You have a nikla lechicha leinecha, and the fact that he's going to die, but we're not bothered about the fact that he's going to die, because we said that lashes takes the place of the death penalty. That Amalei said to him, no, Amakra, the pasuk says, v'nikla achicha leinecha. It says, v'nikla, the disgrace that he's going to have through the lashes of your brother should be to your eyes. But that teaches us, achash alaka, that after he has this v'nikla, after that he gets lashes, he still has to be your brother, Veleka, and that's not going to be that case. In other words, he has to be alive not only during the lashes, but even after the lashes, and therefore, yeah, although it's in the place of the death penalty, but he still has to be alive afterwards, and that's why you can't give him, in that case, even 21 lashes. It would have to be 18 lashes. Gemara continues explaining other things that our Mishnah said requires three judges. The extending a month into a full month, which is that of 31 days instead of 30 days, to make it that the 31st is going to be Rish Chodesh, starting the next month, that is with three judges. Now, the Gemara says, Chishev loy katani. It doesn't say that the calculation of extending the month requires three judges. In other words, because they have to calculate if they should be make it into a full month. And because although the Gemara says elsewhere that it's because of Yarkayo, Mishra Mesaya, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah of Chof Med Aleph, that it's pretty obvious, and you don't have to calculate, because it depends on the day that's going to come out. We don't want to have Yom Kippur right next to Shabbos, because they're not going to bury people because of the vegetables. Even so, you have to calculate, as the Mishnah says in Sechtes Erech and Nafches Mebeis, that you can't have less than four Chodesh Mubar, and you have to have at least four that are full months in the year. Now, but still, you really shouldn't have more than eight, because nine for sure you can't do it, because if you're going to do nine full months, what's going to happen is that extends the month a little bit longer. You can end up having the moon coming 3 days early, and it's going to look like a lie, because we're going to consider it still part of the last month. So therefore, you have to calculate the cycle of the moon, and if it's going to come out 3 or 2 days earlier than when you're going to do the month, then you can't make it into a full month. Because people are going to wonder, hey, it's still the old month, but look, the new moon's here already. So that's the halacha of calculating if you should be ma'aber the chaydish or not. So that makes the Gemara the following comment, that it doesn't say that calculation requires three judges. And so to kiddush lekatani, it doesn't say that you need to have three judges who need to be able to receive the testimony of the new month from the witnesses to say mekudush hachaydish, that they should say that the new month is sanctified. Doesn't say that requires three judges either. Ela ibur. It just says that the ibur achaydish, which sounds like that you need to have three judges to say that the month is mu'ubar, is extended, that is what you need to have three judges for. And that's what the Gemara wonders, why do we need three judges for that statement? As the Gemara says, loy lekacha, just do not sanctify the new month on the 30th day. Umamele, by default, when you're going to be mekadesh the new month the following day, on day 31, So then la'aber, then automatically it's going to be a month of 30 days. I mean, the previous month being 30 days, and because it's going to be from the last, because you weren't Mekadosh to Chodesh that day, it's day 31 now, which is going to be the first day of the next month, so then it happens automatically. Why are you saying that you don't need three judges, not for Kiddush HaChodesh, not for the Cheshbon, for the calculation, just to be Ma'abrit, but why do you need? Why do you even need to say anything? It's obvious that it's happening automatically. So Abaye actually says, you're right, today you have to amend the reading of a Mishnah, Kiddush HaChodesh. And it's going on every single month. Whenever you Mekadosh HaChodesh, the judges have to decide that this is that we say Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, the Jewish court decides when the new month starts. When they Mekadosh it, that's what you require three judges for. They say Kaddish, they say Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Says the Gemara, Tanim HaChodesh, in the Braisa, that the way Abaye amended it, it's Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new month. The Iber HaShana, like we're in the Mishnah, the other halacha of extending the year, which to add on an extra month, is B'Shleisha, is with three judges, Divrei Meir. However, Amar Rava asked in Abaye's interpretation, but ve'ibur katani, but the Mishnah doesn't say kiddush, it says ibur. In other words, it's normal for a Tana to make an error in the wording, to miss out a word by that was forgotten, but not to mix up between the word kiddush and the word ibur. Those are two very different ideas. One's being mekadosh l'chodesh, one's extending the month. So therefore, asked Rava, you can't say tnei kiddush if the word was ibur. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, what the Mishnah is teaching us is Kiddush b'yoyim Ibur. Yoyim Ibur is a reference to the 30th day of the previous month, because it's that day which is, they can make that previous month into Ma'uber means like pregnant, extended month, when they want to be Ma'aber the month. So for example, let's say if the previous month was a Chodesh Chasser, it was only 29 days. So then, it's what that halacha is, that you have to do that b'shleisha with three judges to be mekadosh the coming month. If you're doing that on the 30th day of the previous month, that's what, meaning, so when it says that, in Amish it says, Ibra chodesh b'shleisha, it doesn't mean the Ibra itself. It means if you be mekadosh the new month in the Yom HaIbur, what's the Yom HaIbur? That's the 30th day of the previous month. The reason is because that day, the 30th day, could be used to extend the previous month and then have the next month only starting on day 31, which will be day one of the next one. That was saying that if they decide to be Mekadosh it on that day, meaning that the previous month now is only going to be 29 days, because on day 30 they're already making it part of the new month, that has to be with three judges. Now, but that tells us that Acha Ibur, but if let's say they make the previous month into Chodesh Mali, into 30 days, and they're establishing Rish Chodesh on day 31, which is after that Yom HaIbur, that like a kiddush, that then they don't have to say mekudush, mekudush, they don't have to sanctify the new month. On that, as the Gemara, Su'umani, so based on Rava's interpretation of a Mishnah, who's the town of a Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, it's not like learning the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik Oimer, he says, if the new moon, the new month, is not seen in its time, meaning on day 30, because that's usually when the Mailet is, the birth of the new moon, which is the day of Rish Chodesh, it's usually on the 30th day, because you can't have the new moon less than 29 and a half days with 793 Chalakim, which is how they split up the hours. So it has to be, it can't be before day 30. So day 30 is Bizmana, is the time, the earliest that you could see it. If it wasn't seen, cloudy or whatever it is, they couldn't see on the day 30, Ein Mekadoshin Nisei, then on day 31, you don't go ahead, which we're calling Ach Ibur, you don't sanctify the new month. Shekar Kachu B'Shemayim. Because already in Shemayim, meaning in the heavenly court, already yesterday when they saw that the courts here weren't Mekadosh, automatically day 31 is going to have to be, you can't do it a day later, it's going to have to be the day. So automatic from Shemayim, it's like it was already decreed that today is Rish Chodesh, and therefore the courts here on earth do not have to be Mekadosh on day 31. And that's what the halacha of a Mishnah is teaching. It's only b'yom ha'ibur on the day 30 that they have to mekadosh b'shleisha, but day 31 they don't have to. Rav Nachman Amar, he says actually the other way around. He says kiddush achar ibur b'shleisha. When it says ibur achidush b'shleisha, means that if you mean mekadosh it in an extended month, meaning that you're doing it on day 31 for the new month, that's when you need three judges. B'yom ibur like a kiddush, but actually on the 30th day you don't have to sanctify that with three judges. Umanian, who's the Tanah of Mishnah, Playma, he eats Playma. The Tanah, like learning the Braisa, Playma, Omer, he says actually the opposite of the previous, of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. He says, Bizmanoi, Eimekachanaisa. that if you be mekadesh the chodesh in the appropriate time, meaning on the first opportunity on day 30, which means the previous month is only have 29 days, then you don't have to sanctify the new month because it doesn't need any support because you're doing it in its appropriate time. Shalai bezman mekadesh, if you're doing it not in its regular time, meaning it's a day late, then to support that, to verify that, then the courts have to go out and say mekudesh, mekudesh. Third interpretation of Ashi, I mean, he says, La'ilam chishav katani. He says that, no, actually, the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about the calculations of extending the month. Well, my Ibur, so then why do they use the term Ibur? Is chishav the Ibur means the calculation to calculate if we have to go ahead and extend the month or not. So that calculation, those deliberations, should it be on day 30 or day 31? That has to be done with three judges. Now, so why they say Ibur? Which, yeah, means chishav the Ibur, but why don't you just say chishav? Because if I did the Kabbalah Misni Ibur Shana, because since the halacha right next to this halacha of Ibra Chaydish is Ibra Hashana, which there it also means that by default you have to calculate if you're going to be Ma'abr the Shana, because there it's not enough to say you have to calculate. Because that's why they calculate, as we'll see a later Gemara, there's reasons why they would make it into an Ibur year, into a leap year, to add another month or not, and you have to calculate those things. Now, so why were there, did they say Ibur HaShana, not Chishav HaShana? It's because you need an Ibur HaShana, you need to say that the year is extended, to say that you're going to add on a second Adar for the year, because if they were silent, then actually by default, automatically, the next month would not be an Adar Sheni, it would by default be the month of Nisan. So when you say Ibur Shana, obviously it means Chishuv of Ibur Shana, but moreover, the Ibur means that you have to say the Ibur. So Tananami, so therefore when we said also regarding Ibur HaChaydish, they also said Ibur HaChaydish, where, again, it doesn't mean that because you have to say the extension of the new month, it's that because you have to go ahead there also and calculate the extension of the new month. And that's what's teaching us, that you need to have those calculations, but you don't have to be Mekadesh the month, not by a full a month, and not by a lacking month. Not by a month of 29 days or 30 days. It doesn't make a difference. When you mekadesh the new month, you don't have to go ahead and say anything. Which as the Gemara asks, Cheshev Chidush In. This that we're explaining now, the Halacha of our Mishnah that says that to calculate if the new when what day should the new month start on, that needs three judges. But Kiddush Chidush Lai, but to sanctify the new month, that you don't have to, not B'yayimi Ibur, not Acher Ibur, it doesn't make a difference which day, Mani, who's that Tana? So this is a third opinion. We mentioned one that says you have to do it only on day 30, not 31. We mentioned one that says you have to only have B'mekadosh on day 31, not day 30. This opinion is Rabbi Lazahi. Does that sound like the Brice, Rabbi Lazahi? He says, B'mizmani, B'mishalei bizmani, whether on the day 30, whether not on day 30, meaning rather day 31, A'mekadosh, no, so you never have to be Mekadosh. You don't need three judges to say Mekudosh, Mekudosh, on the new month. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk in Be'yikra, says, V'kadash to Mishnasach HaMishim Shana. It says regarding the year of Yevil, that you should sanctify the 50th year, which teaches us, Shana Matam Mekadosh, it's only years, every 50th year, which is the Yevil year, that the courts have to be Mekadosh for the purposes of Yevil. So it's regarding years, V'yatam Mekadosh Chadoshim, but you don't have to sanctify months, and therefore it's only regarding the Chishuv HaChaydish, we're just calling it Ibur because of the comparison to Ibur HaShana, but it's not really the Ibur per se, it's the Chishuv HaChaydish that requires three judges. Now the Mishnah then continues, so we said that Ibur HaChaydish is with three judges, and so to Ibur HaShana, which is extending the year, also is three judges. But Rav Shimon Leilaima, he says, B'shleisha v'chulu, he says, no, Ibur HaShana, it starts off with three, then the deliberations is with five, and then the conclusion is with seven. As the Gemara quotes a Braisa that elaborates on his opinion. Tan learned in a Braisa, Ketzad Hauso. So Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel says, B'shleisha maschil, you start off with three judges, U'b'chamisha neisim neisim, and then you deliberate with five judges, and B'gayim M'shiva, and you conclude with seven judges, as the Braisa elaborates. Let's say Echad, one of the three judges, Omer Leishev, he says, let's sit down, let's analyze to see if we should extend this year to add on the extra month. And the reason why he's saying is because of the season, or because of the blossoming of the fruits, or because of the fruits of the tree, as the Gemara on the next Daf and Yeraf and Beis will explain this concept. So he says, let's sit down. It makes sense to me that we might have to do this. But Vishnayim, Imam Leilashiv, so from the original three judges, two of them say, no, we don't even have to make a court to convene regarding this. There's no doubt, there's no need to go ahead and extend this year. Says the Braisa, that's what it means when you start off with three. So in that situation, the individual judge will be void and nullified on the majority, and you don't even have to add on another two to make it five to even look into this any further. It's out. There's not going to be an Iber Yah this year. But continues the Brisa. Let's say Shneim Oimrim Leisha. Let's say two of the three judges say, yeah, let's sit down. There might be reasons for us to think that this should be a leap year. But one of the judges says, no, we don't have to sit down. Then we go based on the majority who say that you should sit down. And then there should be a discussion if you should extend it or not. Now that Masa Matan, explained to Rav Shimon Gamliel, requires five judges. So therefore, you add on another two to that three, and then they go ahead and they have a discussion regarding that, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what's this number that you start up with three, and then you go to five, and then you go to seven. What does that correlate to? So you have five now people, five judges discussing to make it an extended year or not. Now let's say shnayim oimrim tzricha. Let's say two judges say that, yeah, we need to extend the year. V'shleisha oimrim ein tzricha, but the other three say we don't need to. So patlo shnayim b'miutan. So those two are void in the majority, and they just get up and they go, and there's nothing to talk about. There's not going to be an ibriya that year. But let's say shleisha oimrim tzricha. Let's say three say that you do need to. V'shnayim oimrim ein tzricha, and two say you don't need to. Oh, so then you go after the majority. And v'sivin leim oichnayim. So then you add on another two judges to complete the number that we said, which has to be concluded with seven. And then they go ahead and they me'abra the shana she'ein haminyan pachas m'sheva, because the number to conclude the ibra hashana can't be less than seven. Now the Gemara asks, hani shleisha chamisha b'sheva k'neged mi. This starting over three, deliberating with five and concluding with seven, what does that correlate to? Where do we get these numbers from? So pligibar Reb Yitzchak bar Nachmeni b'chad de'imei. So Reb Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, one that was with him, disagree with this. Uman, and who is that? It's referring to Reb Shimon ben Pazi. V'amilan, some say the opposite, which whenever you say one with him, it means that that person was lower and therefore wasn't mentioned. And there's a disagreement which one was the greater one. So therefore some say it was actually Reb Shimon ben Pazi b'chad de'imei, and someone that was with him. Uman, who's that? Reb Yitzchak bar Nachmeni. But it was these two Tamid Chacham that they had a disagreement regarding where these numbers are from. One says it's correlating to the Birchas Kahanim that the Kahanim say when they duchen, when they go up to bench the people. It says in the first pasuk three words, the second pasuk has five words, and the third pasuk has seven words. So that's the correlation to the three, five, and seven. Chadamer one says that it's that we find regarding the kingdom on earth that you have three appointees, five appointees, and seven appointees, which correlate to this amount. You have Shleisha Keneged Shemi Asaf. You have three that correlate to those who watch the gates, as we find by Tzidkiyah, as it says the Pasuk Melachim Beis by Gullus of Nibizraden, where there it spoke about the three who were watching the gateway. And so too over there it says Chamisha Miroi Pnei HaMelech, the five that saw the face of the king. And also we have by Achashverosh, as it says in the beginning of Megillas Esther, Shivaroya Pnei HaMelech, the seven that saw the face of the king, which was the seven Sari Parias Amadai, the leaders of Persia and Media. Now, so Ibur Hashana, when we extend the year, it's similar to the royalty that there is on earth, is the same thing over there, because what we're doing is that we're organizing everything of the order of the years of the galaxies in their place. So just like here on planet Earth, where there's lower levels of officers in regards to the king, so too the constellations are the same thing. So when we're organizing that, it requires the same level of respect as it is for the kingdom over here. So that's why, as similar as Tani Rav Yosef, Yosef taught in the Braisa, that Hani Shleisha V'Chamisha V'Shiva, this 3, 5, and 7, is Shleisha Keneged Shemi Asaf. So you start off with 3, which is the lower ones, they're the ones that watch the gates. Chamisha Merei Pnei HaMelech, then you have 5 from those 7 that see the face of the king, they're further away. And Shiva Merei Pnei HaMelech, the 7 that see the face of the king, that's again the how they conclude. That's the organizing of the upper kingdom, just like as it is in the lower kingdom. Now, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, so after Rav Yosef said this, what the 5, 3, 5, 7 correlate to, so regarding the Malchus Shemaim, like the Malchus Rekia, so Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Ad Idna, my time alay parash lamar hachi. So up until now, why didn't the Master ever tell us this, that this is the reason for the 3, 5, and 7 regarding the halacha of Ibur Hashanah? So Amalui said to them, Lo havi yadana ditzichisu. I didn't know that you needed to understand this teaching. Mi be'isu menoy milsa v'loy amalecho. Did you ever ask me something and I didn't tell you? If I knew that you needed, I would have told you that I didn't know that you needed to know this interpretation of what the 3 and 5 and 7 of the Ibur Hashanah, which you start over 3, deliberate 5 and 7, concluding that what that correlates to.